This is the weekend edition of the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Daily Gold Podcast, and I believe this is our first live edition. With me today here in Colorado at the Precious Metal Summit in Beaver Creek, Colorado, in the mountains here, is the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. He's also the star of kind of a new series, the At the Bar series. You are a star of that, right?
Well, I am one of the principals along with Brent Cook, and it's really not new. We started it probably 6 years ago with a previous sponsor. We had a bit of a trouble with it because some of their readers, listeners, viewers objected to the fact that we drank. So we had to find a new sponsor. It went on hiatus for a while, but we're back in the saddle, regular affair now.
Mickey, one more comment on that. I have to say, one time in an interview, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, I heard you say quaff a beer, and I did not know what the word quaff meant. So I looked it up, and it was absolutely the perfect word for drinking a beer, essentially.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
To drink
with gusto.
With gusto and copiously, with great enjoyment, something along those lines.
Absolutely.
Are you going to quaff a few beers later today?
I will if you are sitting beside me keeping up.
Sounds good. Now, let's get to the markets. First off, what are your views of this conference? I mean, I came a couple years ago. I wasn't here last year. It seems like the attendance is a lot greater than maybe they expected. They have to plan these things more than 1 or 2 months in advance. And, of course, you know, the markets just got red hot at the beginning of the year. Your thoughts on the conference and the attendance so far?
Well, the markets got red hot maybe in May. But that said, man, did they get hot fast. This is my first time here. And I've been told that they had to close registration, so I think it's up 50% from the last year. But it's kind of a who's who of people that matter in this business in the junior resource sector. There's lots of companies, lots of one-on-one meetings. There's a lot of buy side here. There's some sell side here. There's analysts. There's investors. There's newsletter writers. There's geologists. There's financiers. Probably a few bean counters thrown in. But it really is devoted to the junior mining sector, and I find it very well run, and it is a networking opportunity, a plethora, a cornucopia of networking opportunities here.
Absolutely. Now, Mickey, let's talk about the markets. I know you told me you were doing a lot of private placements earlier in the year, and that's slowed down a little bit for you. So are you, I mean, I know it's you partake in many different commodities, but just generally speaking, how do you feel about the commodity sector right now? Are you kind of a holder more so than a buyer and a seller? But what are your views?
Well, all in all, I'd say I'm a seller in this market because a lot of stuff that I owned that had been underwater for a number of years and made its way back. So I'm taking profits in those things. I've participated in not very many private placements this year. I am being very selective. I'm involved in a couple of startups. One of those is halted right now. We expect big news this afternoon or tomorrow morning, and I'm just bouncing off the wall. I'm so excited about this new gold play in Nevada. Well, it's an old gold play, but it's new for this new company. The markets got really frothy by the end of the summer. We've had a step back, a correction, if you will. I think that was sorely needed. Most of the things that went running up, which were the gold producers, the advanced explorers even, but the mid-tiers, the gold miners, I thought they got way overbought. I still think they're overbought for the most part. So I'm not participating. I'm going into to the trickle-down effect and trying to pick new stuff, do a few of my own little participatory deals, if you will, and because this will trickle down. There's lots of money being thrown around in this business right now, and there will be a good trickle-down effect to some smaller companies.
That's very interesting, and I do agree with you. I think there is more downside potential in the near term. Obviously got a little frothy. With that being said, I definitely agree with you that the value is kind of at the bottom of the food chain, so to speak. I guess what I'm wondering, do you think, assuming you're bullish on gold and you think later this year or at some point it takes out 1375 to 1400, do you view that as a catalyst for what you're talking about, essentially money kind of going down on the food chain, and then those, I don't want to call, I mean, not all of them are penny stocks, but let's say nano cap exploration stories.
Yeah.
So do you think that's where the real value is, and that's kind of where you're picking and searching?
Right. Well, that's the sweet spot for me. Probably is for you, too, at this juncture. And I'm not certain that it requires an increase in gold price for that to happen. Generally, as a rule of thumb, or it's more than that, it's a very strong correlation with the fact there is a seasonality of gold, and we should be in a strong uptick time for gold based on seasonal prices. You know, we have the summer doldrums, little interest. We usually have a bottoming of gold in July and August. I kept expecting it to get below 1300. It tried, got to 1305 a couple of weeks ago. So we've got very strong downside resistance in that right at that 1300 range, but we're not seeing an uptick yet, and that's a little bit of a concern. If we don't see it by the end of September, we maybe will not have that usual fall uptick, but that's usually driven by the Indian festival seasons and wedding season, and then that goes, then you'll have a little lull in November, and then here comes the love trade in the U.S. the first half of December. So seasonality of gold, we would expect that. I don't know if that's necessary. You know, everybody seems to be comfortable with this range of 1300 to 1360 that we've been in for at least a couple of months.
Now, you said you, with respect to the nanocap exploration stocks, you don't think that they need the catalyst of a higher gold price. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if that's the case, then what do you think will be the catalyst for that, or will it just kind of happen slowly and there?
I think there's enough money come into this business right now that there is just this trickle-down effect. After a while, all the money that the micro-caps need, let's start at the large to mid-cap gold miners and then filter down to the micro-caps. And once they get funded, then that money will go looking for smaller projects. And I think that's happening now. I mean, everybody's getting funding that has a project of legitimacy with a management team that has had some success in the past. You know, I've met with a half a dozen companies here that are not going to have any trouble raising money in the $1 to $10 million range. That sort of stuff's available right now, and so I think the trickle down is already happening.
I want to turn a little bit away from gold and talk about other commodities, but first something coming up, obviously, that might be a catalyst. I don't want to get too much into politics, but let's just talk about the election and if you think the result of that might be a catalyst for the resource sector one way or another, if you think that one candidate might be better than the other for the resource sector. What are your views on that, on the election, and how that will impact our investing going forward?
I think we can all agree the election is a gong show. I am a libertarian, so I am most, my heart and soul and my politics and my individuality is very much leans toward that sort of thinking, so I'm a Gary Johnson supporter. That said, you know, he's unlikely to win the election. He's likely to be a very disruptive effect. I think he will take more votes away from Villory than he will Trump the Chump. As far as if one of those two, which one will be better for precious metals or the resource sector, I would say that Trump, and it's irrespective of the gold price, I think that Trump will be better for our industry because he's a free market capitalist, and Hillary obviously is not. So from that point of view, I think our sector, in terms of legitimate environmental regulations, you know, if Trump gets elected and with a Republican Congress, we got the Keystone Pipeline, for instance. So from that point of view, he's a pro-development capitalist, and we are pro-development capitalists, although we're venture capitalists, and he's a big boy, and we're little guys, so.
Absolutely. And I'm a Johnson supporter, by the way. Not that any of the listeners really care, but anyway, let's talk about some of the other commodities because, I mean, gold and silver, they've really been the strongest. The other commodities really haven't moved. I know you're a really long-term bull on uranium, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on if you see a lot of value there right now and when you think that might turn. I know that nobody can predict the future, but rub your crystal ball a little bit and give us a guess on that, if you may.
Yeah, well, I don't have one of those, and so it's going to happen. I can't give you a time frame. It's not going to happen in the short term. So let's say in the medium term, it will change. As a contrarian, I've positioned myself. As a contrarian, I mentioned some of the deals, the startup deals, the PriveCos, the RTOs that I'm participating in. I've got a uranium deal I've participated in, a private deal that is going to move here in the near future. So I think that kind of tells you where my ideas are in uranium. But once again, this is a long-term view, mid to long-term view of the uranium business. The other commodity I really like in a contrarian sense is copper. Based solely on demand for electricity worldwide and the fact that we've got 85 million more people on the planet and 25% of the humans on this planet still go to bed in the dark when it gets dark and they get up when it gets light in the morning. So that's not going to go away. We have a short-term oversupply of copper or no, maybe not an oversupply, but there's plenty of copper right now, which is keeping the price down. But that's not going to last. So I have a very strong midterm view, which goes out to a secular long-term view of copper. So commodities of interest to me right now would be gold, copper, uranium, and here's a zinger for you, helium. Working on a helium deal. So
awesome. Well, you know, one comment I'd like to make on that, and I'm sure you followed. If Trump wins, people are saying that there would be a lot more government spending on, you know, rebuilding our infrastructure, which has gone to shit. Excuse
Right-o.
My French. And also, it's not just, I mean, I've talked to a couple of people who are economists, not well-known economists, but they say that this coming infrastructure rebuild, it's going to be a global phenomenon. It's not just going to happen in the U.S., and it seems to me that that could very well be the catalyst to drive the next economic cycle. I mean, this lowering of interest, it's not working anymore. They've already pulled so much demand forward with debt, they can't do it anymore. With interest rates at zero or bond yields negative or 0.1%,
wow.
Whatever,
yeah.
It seems like, I mean, fundamentally, I'm sure you and I are against government spending, but it seems that that is going to have to happen to really get the economy moving in the future years, and that would be bullish for copper, right?
And all industrial metals. So from that point of view, it would be more of the style of what China did post-global economic crisis, which is build out their infrastructure. One of the problems with the world right now in demand for metals is China's got that done now. So you've taken away that surplus of demand and gone back into an oversupply or more of a supply-demand balance. So there was a build-out, and certainly we need that in the United States. I would suggest as a libertarian that that could be done privately much more efficiently and at much less dollars than it can be done by the government. I mean, who builds our roads anyway? It's not the government. It's private contractors build our roads. So from that point of view, I would prefer to see that come from the private capitalist sector. And hopefully Trump would be more on that side than he would be the idea that it's got to be government that runs all this stuff.
Right. On that note, Nikki, or excuse me, Mickey, I'm sorry. It must be the thin air here.
Yeah, you are a flatlander from the coast, so I see a lot of people here sucking on these little oxygen bottles, and I didn't even know what they were for a while. You know, I live at altitude, so but I've heard some stories about people waking up in the middle of the night, short of breath and heart pounding and. I can't really relate to that, but, we're only 8,100 feet here. But if you live on the coast, I guess that's a big jump.
Well, Mickey, before we close, any final comments you want to make on any of these markets, anything you want to say that we didn't get to?
Well, we've been pretty bullish about it, but I would add a word of caution. It's been pretty frothy. We've had this correction, but there's been a lot of private placement money raised. There's a lot being raised right now, and there's a lot of paper going to come out in the next 2 to 4 to 6 to 8 months, and that paper needs a home. So, I would not expect, and I would not hope for a straight rise up. Let's hope for a stepwise rise, maybe some interim corrections, and let's hope we can convince enough people that this boom is real and on, that when all this paper starts coming out in the next few months, there's plenty of buyers. There's plenty of buy side to take that sell side stuff on. So.
Right. Well, Mickey, as we close here, why don't you let our listeners know how they can follow you and your work?
MercenaryGeologist.com, free subscription service. Just go to the website, look, click on my right below my mugshot and sign up. You get all my stuff. You get a notice on Sunday of all my products. At Mercenary Geo, we now have nearly 55,000 Twitter followers, quite active there. And this interview, as always, will be posted in the rotation 24/7 at mercenarygeologist.fm.
Well, Mickey, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks.
I think this is the first interview I've done away from the office, and wouldn't rather have it with anybody else.
Well, thanks a lot, Jordan. Always my pleasure.